Our Father in heaven, we thank you for reminding us this morning that you are faithful. On top of being holy and righteous and pure and true and good and just, you're always present. And you haven't failed. And Father God, when we feel as though you might have failed or turned your head for just a moment, we come to the reality that you've always been there. Thank you for reminding us of your faithfulness this morning, and Father God, helping us to stand strong in faith to trust you. And now, Father, speak into our lives this morning as we look into your word and teach our hearts, mold us into your image, the image of our Christ, that we might magnify you in this world, so that the entire world will know there's a God in heaven and he is faithful. In the name of Jesus Christ, our faithful Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be about words, talking about what we do with our communication. We live in an age where it is strongly encouraged to speak your mind. And that is not a bad thing if it is handled appropriately. And yet, that is not how it's always handled. When I was a boy, there was a familiar chant that we kids used when someone would say something ugly about us, and most of you that are of age would know this one: sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And really, we just kind of said that to get somebody off our back, to make them think what they were saying wasn't going to bother us one iota, and so you might as well just stop saying ugly things about us. And it sometimes didn't hurt for somebody to say something, but there were other times when it did. The truth of the matter is that we have the exercise of words, which are very powerful. Word is how the Lord God has spoken to man. He has spoken his word. He's spoken through his prophets. He's spoken through those that have followed him. He's spoken through his own son, who is called the Word. The Word can have an incredible effect upon us. We need to be very, very concerned about what we do with words. And I will be honest with you, you're going to find it very hard in our day, in our society, to find a setting in which you are not expected to be on full alert of what you're saying for fear that what you're saying is going to be considered offensive by someone and then will make grounds for you becoming the target of name-calling or accusations of bigotry and racial slurs. We live in a very sensitive society, almost to a fault. And yet, some of the ugliest comments that I've ever heard in my lifetime have been done just in the past few years and for the entire world to see, because we have what is called social media. And so it's been magnified, this thing of putting out our words to the world. And therefore, it is very dangerous, or it can be very, very helpful. I will say this: the secular, humanistic world, society, really cannot be blamed for what they're doing with words. I'll tell you, because they have no moral compass, no standard against which to measure their words, their actions, because they operate by the impulse of the flesh, by the natural desires, their reaction to the circumstances and those things around them. And so out of the natural reaction, things are said, things are done. In their estimation, they're expressing their right to free speech, to express themselves, defending themselves from all others. But the church, the redeemed, Those who've been born again and transformed and being transformed from the inside out, you do not have that kind of freedom, as it were. There are several things that should be impacting our life. First off, you do have a compass as a believer. You have an anchor. You have a rock upon which you have been planted so that you may not be moved. You have no excuse when your words come out without restraint. Shame on you. And as I say that, I say it to myself. We need to be very, very careful with the words that we use, especially as people of God, because we do represent someone besides ourselves, besides our families, besides our employees. We represent the living God, who is whole and perfect and faithful and true, righteous and just. We have a written standard that has been preserved for us to be able to read and to trust and to obey and to follow those precepts. This gives us another reason that we have no excuse for the words that we use, because this book is full of exhortation to use your words in a way that encourages and in a way that edifies, in a way that builds up, in a way that helps others. And yes, and sometimes to correct, but to do it with love and to do it with grace. We have that instruction. We have a rock, a compass, an anchor. We have the written word. We also have the resident Holy Spirit. God has put Himself inside of you so that you will have that one that lives in you and keeps you in check. Before I was a believer, goodness, the things that would come out of my mouth before I could think they were out there. I'm so grateful there wasn't social media when I was a youngster. I'd have so much to regret. I already do. But once I became a believer and the resident Holy Spirit came to live within me, I wish I could say I became perfect. I didn't. But I began to experience this restraining action in the inner man that would keep me back from saying things. It was helping me to think before I spoke. I found that to be very freeing, because the end results felt a whole lot better than the other. The resident Holy Spirit believer is your friend. He's your comforter. He's your God. He has come to help you speak holy and true and good things, so that you might be His instrument of ministry in the world. Whatever it is that your profession or in your schooling or whatever neighborhood you live in, your words are your almost most powerful gift from God. We also have the model who walked this earth, conducted himself in such a way as to respect the sanctity of human life and dignity. He had a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of every single person. It didn't matter what social status or financial status or nationality the person was. Jesus always gave dignity to those to whom he spoke, even to the religious leaders. As he addressed them and rebuked them for their hypocrisy, he was showing them love by giving them opportunity to repent and pointing out where they needed to be corrected. And he has planted that same kind of concern for the well-being of others inside of his own people. So we have so much more that should keep us at bay from putting ourselves into a place of being convicted for improper language and communication. We could go on and on this morning about what we hear in our society and community. I remember just in the past couple of weeks hearing in mixed company words that my mother would have cut my tongue out for using as a boy. But used in mixed company. Now, when I say mixed company, I'm from the old school. Mixed company means with women. Now, some of you are going to start throwing shoes at me and say, oh, you're so chauvinistic. You know who taught me to be respectful to women and to watch my language before women? My mama. Wasn't my daddy. My mother. She tried to raise three boys on a limited income and play the role of father and mother. I don't know a more strong and independent woman who could have rightfully set up, I roar, than my mother. And yet she told me to hold the members of the opposite sex in highest regard and respect, and to be careful how you talk around them. And whatever criticism you might want to bring to me, I'll be glad to listen to it, but it's not going to hold any water. Because one of the most feministic, independent women I ever know gave me that kind of advice. We need to watch our language, no matter what company we're in, especially as believers. As a husband and a father, I knew to respect my wife, to honor her as part of my stewardship toward God, to help her to be presented before the Father in heaven as a bride, a part of the vessel that's pure and acceptable before our groom. I fathered two daughters. I taught them that they were to be honored and respected. And today they're married to two very wonderful, young, God-fearing men who love them in the very same way. They knew what to look for when it was time to be married. I don't regret one time treating them as a special part of God's creation, because my mama taught me better. And I believe that was the heart of our God. Now, while the world may not have this moral compass and all of the inner available things that we as believers do, the church does, and we have some instruction from Scripture I want to take us to this morning and address just briefly what we need to do with our tongues. So in chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 23 is the first verse from which we'll springboard. So if you stand here, then you won't have to stand for the others. I have to stand here at the mic today. Verse 23 of Proverbs 21, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Because it's just one verse, going to read it again. Let's listen to the Lord speak to our hearts. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Father, as we move forward, draw us close to you. Help us, Father, to hear your heart, your truth. Help us, Father, be transparent and willing to receive your truth and apply it to our lives so that we might honor you in this world. And Lord God, without shame and without excuse, we will be able to say, I speak this way because my God demands it and expects it of his child. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. So he who guards his mouth and his tongue is going to guard his soul as well. I think that's good advice from the get-go. Watch what you're saying. Your tongue and your mouth are only going to say what your heart's thinking. So we could go even further and say, let's get your hearts right. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's become very obvious in previous days that people can get in trouble or at least come under heavy scrutiny through the use of their tongue. We have a nation full of people throwing stuff out there right now. And there are certainly consequences from the use of improper words, entering into conflicts, friends, neighbors, strangers, the results of that being loss of job, political pressure from all different directions, potential being banned from establishments. We could go on and on with the results of those things. But for the Christian, there is this real experience, an immediate experience of when we use a word wrong, there's an inner conviction. Just in recent days, I have experienced that all over again. Saying something before I could capture it, it got out there, and I noticed that the other person that I spoke that to was some offended. Now, oftentimes I hang out with people who know me where I speak, and they just laugh it off because they know I'm being a retard. I know I probably just offended somebody. I'm sorry. But I am what I am. But the inner turmoil that comes from speaking an inappropriate word is real, and it's devastating, and it causes you to be soul-searching. I can tell you that I spent about 4 nights sleepless thinking about how I'm going to make this right, speaking with the individual. And when I finally did, all things were good, but I felt terrible. And you know what I say to that? Praise the Lord that He gave the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction over my heart. Lest I come to the place where I become callous about what comes out of my mouth and I just move on in life without caring how people are impacted. The call that's upon my life especially is to be a wordsmith, to be one who utilizes words in such a way that we're brought before the throne of God and we are brought to a place where we question ourselves, we examine our own souls, and we find out where we stand before God and the truth of His Word. And it was overwhelming, the conviction that came over my heart and the inner man. And it was not relieved until I found the offended party and spoke to see if it was right, made right or not. And when it was, I was relieved. You know what? We can avoid that kind of misery if we watch the words before they come out. Guard your heart and your tongue, and you'll guard your soul. You can avoid most of the misery that we experience is because we have spoken before we've thought. Or maybe you've thought about it and still spoken and still regretted it. That's another sermon. What we do need to do is to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Hold back. Keep your mouth shut. Now, when I was reading through this proverb, I thought, I wonder how many other proverbs up to this point in the book of Proverbs speaks about the tongue. And so I went back a few chapters and I found a few verses in chapter 20, verse 20. There's another one that says, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. I thought, 2020 is a pretty good verse, isn't it? I need 2020 vision to be able to see correctly. The fifth commandment is what? Honor your father and your mother. The full commandment goes something like this, honor your father and mother, for this is the commandment that comes with a promise that if you do well, you will live long. If you honor your father and mother, you will have a long life. That lines exactly up with this proverb here. If you curse your mother or father, your lamp, light in your lamp's going to go out quick. Your life could end soon. Do you know that in the Old Testament, I'm not going to point out the law, you can read through the book of the Leviticus and you'll find it. That if you cursed your mother or your father, you could be brought before the elders and they would stone you to death. You know how many times I stood up to my mother, bless her soul, trying to raise 3 boys by herself, and I came up against her thinking she'd made some stupid mistake? I probably shouldn't live much longer. And I wonder how often we have brought ourselves to a place of danger by bringing curses against those who have been assigned to raise us up and to give us instruction and even to do the hard stuff of making sure that we don't get ourselves in a bind by keeping us from doing what we want to do. And yet, the instruction is, whoever curses mother or father, lamp's going to go out in time of darkness. That also can mean if you burn your bridges, be careful, because you get in a bind where no one else will help you except mom and dad, and you've already burned that bridge. Good luck. Have fun with that. Honor your father and mother. It is one of the big 10 commandments. It's important. That does not mean mom and dad are always right. But you are called to honor them. And there's a way to honor mother and father. Chapter 20, verse 15, as I went back a few more verses, there's gold and an abundance of jewels, but the lips of knowledge are a more precious things. When we use our words appropriately, they're of great value. Scripture tells us again and again, you know, having gold and jewels and riches is a blessing, but having a proper integrity and a proper kind of reputation and a proper kind of life is of much more value than your riches, your financial material riches. This passage of Scripture makes it very clear that while there's an abundance of these other jewels and riches, the lips of knowledge are a precious thing. I tend to think that the Lord smiles and is joyful when His people are speaking those words that are uplifting and edifying and life-giving rather than tearing down life, rather than being deceptive, rather than being hurtful and hateful. Because it's easy to utilize malice and slander and talk against a person when things aren't going right. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord is revealing to us in the truth of Scripture that there's great value in appropriate language. Went back a little more in chapter 18, verse 20. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with the product of his lips. That almost sounds like you can talk yourself into a sweet job where you can make lots of money and be able to eat good all the time. We can interpret Scripture a lot of different ways if we're not careful, especially the wisdom writings. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. When I had spoken that ill word that was not really a wise word, and I felt convicted in my heart, do you know that my stomach hurt? An actual physical malady from a verbal experience. I was sick over speaking out of in the wrong way. I was sick over it. And yet when we speak good things and when we speak the right things, do you know we get satisfied? An inner contentment, a joy overcomes us. You ever notice that when you speak life to someone or you speak encouragement to someone's life and you know it just lights them up? There's an inner joy that comes. No matter what's going on in your life, you get this peace. It's a satisfaction. And the fruit of a man's mouth will bring you contentment. And you'll be content with those things that come out of your mouth. I wrote in here and marked it in green in my highlighter, and usually green means this is real important, but you will have to eat your words one day. Will your stomach be satisfied? When after you've eaten your words, will you have bitter stomach? Will you be sick? Will you be nauseous? Will there be joy and contentment? Will it be sweet, satisfying? And then the next verse, 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Either way, death and life, the tongue has power for death or for life. You can speak death into someone's life. You can speak hate. You can speak malice. You can speak down to someone. You can lie to them and malice them and deceive them and hate them, criticize them, and you can tear a person down. You tell a child you're good for nothing long enough, they'll believe it. And they will become good for nothing. But if you encourage a child and you correct them appropriately, and you speak life into them and hope into their life and optimism into their life, and you'll see that there could be some improvement. The Scripture says, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll walk in that way. The Lord is wise in these wisdom writings to tell us this information. Our words have death in them, and they also have life in them. How are we allowing our words to be used? It matters not only in our communication with each other in the church, and that's a big one. We should be careful how we speak to one another. It seems that when we love and know people best is when we seem to be as abusive as we'll ever be. And for those outside the church, well, we're supposed to be a witness to them. What are they going to see in Christ when we've said, I'm a believer, and then we speak in a way that speaks death into their life? It's contradictory. It's hypocritical. There's power in the tongue. Let's recognize that it could be speaking death into somebody's life. It could speak life into someone's life. Either way, we will deal with the consequences. You will be held accountable. I will be held accountable. That we will have to face that time eventually. In 18:6, chapter 18, verse 6, a fool's lip brings strife and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his ruin. His lips are the snare of his soul. One who doesn't use his mouth properly is always going to be in trouble. Contentions, difficulty, finding himself trying to work himself out of trouble. I had a student that was a high school student in Carrizo Springs, and he had this incredible gift to lie. Just every time he opened his mouth, he told another story, and he would constantly, because he had ADD or ADDH or all those letters, whatever it is, he had this issue where he just had to be, his mind was constantly moving, so he was constantly making up these stories, talking and telling. He went off to college, and about a year and a half later, I get this phone call, and it's really late at night, and I answer the phone. I say, hey, how you doing? He goes, hey, Brother Robert, I just wanted to call you and tell you something. Man, I was in a little Bible study tonight and hadn't been to Bible study in a long time. Went to a Bible study tonight and overcame with conviction. And I just want you to know that there's been a giant transformation in my heart. And I felt strongly I needed to call you and just let you know that God is changing me from the inside out. And I'm starting to realize that living a life telling lies is such hard work. And I've been such a fool. And now I've discovered what freedom is from that. Just telling the truth. It works. He said, you were always honest to tell me what was right. And I wouldn't listen to you. He said, and everybody else would just give in to me because they were tired of dealing with me. But you continued to talk life into me and to speak truth. And I thank you for that. Because today, it has made a difference in my life. I was so moved by that. And he said to me, you know what? It's a lot easier to just tell the truth. Because that's the only thing you got to think about. You don't have to be thinking of all the other, what did I tell him last time? To try and keep yourself on board, above water. He said, just tell the truth. A fool's lips will just get him in trouble. And it's true. Even a fool, when he keeps silent. Chapter 17, verse 28. I love this verse. When a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's counted as prudent. If you're ever in a situation you don't really know what to say and you think you're going to open your mouth and make yourself look stupid, don't say anything. Because even a fool is considered wise when he doesn't open his mouth. Because there is perception out there, folks. Listen. You know what? I'm talking about using words. Do you know that we use words also with social media? You may not be moving your lips. You may not be bringing spittle out as your pastor does every time he speaks and stuff comes flying out, but you are using your words. And those words will bring consequences one day. Those words have a lot of effect. Once it gets out there in that place, it doesn't come back. And the only one judging you is not you and just your family and just maybe your friends, but the entire world. Those who like you and those who don't like you are judging you. And that's how it's going to be. We need to be very, very careful. Sometimes just being silent is the best thing. Sometimes just keeping from posting that one thing is the best thing. Let's trust the Lord to work things out, not try to see what the world's view is on something. The New Testament has much on the way of speaking. James chapter 1, verse 19, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That's good advice. That's in the New Testament book of wisdom, by the way, James. Slow to talk, quick to listen. We have become a society that is looking to speak out, but we really don't listen to each other unless we want to try and criticize. Okay, I heard what you said, and here's what I'm thinking you said. Let's be quicker to listen, slower to speak. And then in James chapter 3, there's an entire 12 verses that talks about the danger and the power of the tongue. Tongue is a fire. The tongue is like a rudder on a vessel. It's very little, but it guides the entire ship, can cause shipwreck. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, the things that come out of the mouth are what defile a man, not the things that go into the mouth. And he said that's because they come out of the heart. And that's where the issue of life is in the heart. We get our hearts right, then what produces out of our mouths will usually be okay. Usually. We still have to exercise restraint and let it filter through the Spirit and through the Word of God, through the model that Christ gave us. Stand firm on that rock. Trust in the anchor of your soul. Look, we should be concerned in the church about offending others, not just because the society's in a tizzy and everybody's coming under lawsuits and everybody's hating on each other, but because the Lord's expecting that out of His people. He expects us to speak appropriately, speak in a way that's different than what the world is speaking. Speaking life rather than this death. The world's speaking enough death. Let's speak of truth and life. The Lord Jesus has called us to that. Matthew chapter 12, you can read through verses 30 to 37 later for homework. And Jesus was criticized by the Pharisees, saying that the ministry that he had performed was through the power of Beelzebub, the devil, rather than the Holy Spirit. And Jesus responded to them. He said, you know what? By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You'll be charged and judged by every word that comes out of your mouth. Either condemned or justified. And really, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, you have the ability to be able to control what comes out. And again, you're going to be judged by what you say. And I think it's important for us to hear this. One day we will all stand before judgment seat of Christ, all believers. And we'll have to give an account of the things done in our body, whether good or bad. And I think that includes what we've said, good or bad. Everything that we've done, has it brought glory to the Lord? The Apostle Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all to His glory. I believe that will be part of the judgment when we stand before Christ. It will not have to do, believer, with your salvation, because Jesus has already taken your judgment at the cross if you've trusted Him. He's already taken your judgment at the cross, but your rewards will be determined by that judgment seat. Are you burning up rewards through ill speaking? Or are you preserving rewards through life-giving speech to others? For those who have not trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, who have not trusted in His death and His resurrection as your salvation, you too will stand at a judgment one day. It'll be called the Great White Throne Judgment. And at that judgment, there will be only one standard against which you'll be measured, and that'll be the Lord Jesus Himself, who is the Word of God, as we mentioned, the truth. And you will discover, as Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 share, when you stand at that judgment, your name will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no matter what deeds you've done, they will not be able to justify you before the Lord God. Not even a kind word to someone will be able to justify you, because you still need Jesus. You see, all of us in this place who have trusted Jesus, He's our only hope too. Without Him, we don't have stand a chance. And without Him, you won't stand a chance. But God loved the world so much, He sent His Son Jesus to come and offer Himself on a cross to pay the price of every sin of every person who would one day come before Him and say, "Lord Jesus, I've sinned before You. And there's nothing I can do to make myself right before You, but I got to lean upon what You did in Jesus. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for raising Him back to life because He satisfied Your righteous judgment against my sin. Thank You, Father, that You've given me faith to trust You today so that I can rest in that gift and have eternal life. I pray if you've not done that today, you would do that today. And if you don't do that today, that God will make you miserable until you come before Him. That the Holy Spirit will work on you until He draws you to Himself, and that you experience the great peace and the joy that comes from forgiveness of sin and the assurance that you have life eternal and will be with Him one day. Listen, the Lord Jesus will stand in that setting and He will use His words to bring those condemned to full condemnation. But He also uses words to bring those who have life eternal into life everlasting. Come and enter into your rest. Come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. Learn of Me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to Me. That's His invitation. Sweet words. I pray that we will embrace those words today if we haven't already. That believer, if you have utilized words that have been wrong and have hurt someone, this is a time to repent. It is a time to say, "Father, I have sinned against You and against man, and I've offended somebody." You need to kneel at the altar and do business with God, and you need to go to that person, and you need to get that straightened out. And then you can be released from the misery and the conviction that you're feeling. But we cannot represent our Christ appropriately until we get the heart straightened out. He's expecting His people to exalt Him in words, singing, praying, speaking, living. Let us represent Him well. Let's pray together. Father, as we transition from this part of our worship experience into our submission to You and our response, I pray, Father, that You are exalted in this time, in this hour. Lord God, move us from where we are to where You want us to be. Help us, Father, to come with boldness and to not be afraid, but to long for the cleansing and to long for the relief that we need inside of us rather than walk away in misery. Father God, thank You that You offer Yourself and that You invite us to come. Be exalted in our response this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.